I think that I shall never see a metaphor as lovely as a tree. Many of you might remember this homily that I gave over a month ago on February the 16th when we reflected on Jeremiah chapter 17 about the tree planted beside waters. Its leaves stay green even during the heat of summer, and it still produces fruit in the drought and stress. I think that I shall never see a metaphor as lovely as a tree. In today's gospel, Jesus tells a parable about a fig tree. The owner tells the gardener that for 3 years he hasn't found any figs, so he orders the gardener cut it down. You probably know this experience. If you have apple trees, you know, some years they're really great in producing apples, and other years it's pretty sparse. This is 3 years with not a single solitary fig. Not just kind of a weak year. None. Zero. Zilch. Nada. Niente. But the gardener pleads with the owner of the fig tree. Let's give it one more year. I'll cultivate and fertilize it, and hopefully it will bear fruit, but if not, then we can cut it down. I think that I shall never see a metaphor as lovely as a tree. The fig tree in today's gospel is a beautiful metaphor. The fig tree is a metaphor for our souls. God the Father is the creator of the fig tree, so he's the creator of our souls, and Jesus is the gardener. You know, it's not by accident that Mary Magdalene thought that Jesus was the gardener. The question is, are our lives, are we producing fruit? Are we producing life in the vineyard? Are we producing fruit, life? Are we life-giving for our families, our parishes, our schools, our communities? Jesus expects us to yield fruit. It was the first commandment in the Bible, wasn't it? The very first commandment in the Bible, in the very first chapter of the book of Genesis, on the 28th verse, God gives the first commandment. He says, be fruitful and multiply. At the Last Supper, Jesus tells his apostles, recorded by St. John, who was there in John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 16, he says, it was not you who chose me, it was I who chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last, that will remain, fruit that will remain. So it's obvious from the first book of the Bible all the way through the Last Supper that God expects us to bear fruit, to be life-giving to our families, parishes, schools, communities. How are we doing at producing fruit? During this Jubilee year, 2025, Jesus, the gardener, begs his Father to give us another chance to produce good fruit with the help of divine grace. I think I'm on something like my 5,479th chance. What chance are you on? Our Lord knows that I can produce good fruit for his kingdom. So he says to his heavenly Father, let's leave Monsignor Cook there for another year and we'll see what happens. I'm so grateful that the Lord is patient with me. And he's patient with you too, right? He always looks at you with love and he says, there's great potential in you. There's great potential here. I'm going to give you another chance. I know with a little care and fertilizer, you can produce fruit that will remain. And so he cultivates our soul, the soil of our soul, with the sacrament of penance. That's how he gets out the weeds. And then how does he feed our souls? He fertilizes our souls with his precious body and blood. We have to allow Jesus to do his gardening work in our souls this Lent. We have to let him cultivate and fertilize our souls this Lent. And at the same time, the Lord challenges us to be patient with others and to give them another chance, as Jesus does for us. I think the parable kind of ends abruptly, doesn't it? I thought it ended very abruptly. If not, you can cut it down, the gospel of the Lord. Well, what's the next part of the story? There is no next part of the story. Verse 10, right? Verse 10 of Luke chapter 13, he just goes on and he does something else. Well, what happens? It's typical, right? It's a very typical cliffhanger. Our Lord always does this in parables. The story just ends and you're like, what happened? We don't know if the owner of the fig tree liked the gardener's suggestion of leaving the fig tree for one more year. We don't know that. Maybe the owner of the fig tree said, thank you, Mr. Gardener, I've heard your advice, and I still order you to cut down the fig tree. We assume the fig tree remained for another year. And then what happened after that? Did it produce fruit or not? If it did produce fruit, well, presumably the fig tree is safe, but if it did not produce fruit, was the fig tree given yet another year? Year four? Year five? Or was it chopped down? We don't ever know what happened to the fig tree. And that's the point, isn't it? Jesus told the parable without an ending on purpose. Because remember, it's a metaphor for our story, because our story isn't finished yet. It's not been completely written yet. It's up to us to decide to choose to produce fruit. And because the Lord is kind and merciful, as we sang in our responsorial psalm, slow to anger and abounding in kindness, we still have time to produce good fruit that will remain. But as Father Ronald Knox says, there is a limit to the long-suffering patience of Almighty God. There is a limit. As the great scripture scholar William Barclay comments, he says, the parable makes it quite clear that there is a final chance, because the day finally comes not when God has shut us out, but when we, by a deliberate choice, have shut ourselves out. Yes, it's good to remind ourselves we won't get an infinite number of second chances. We may have 75 more Lents left in our lifetime, or maybe we'll just have one more Lent left in our lifetime. We don't know. Maybe this is our last Lent to produce good fruit for the kingdom of God. Repent. Jesus insists, repent, lest you perish. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation.